Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from windy Pueblo, Colorado on this 19th day of January, 2010. I'm very excited, folks, about today's show because we're bringing you a taped interview with Michelle Monaghan, who was recently voted Best Actress of 2009 by the San Diego Film Critics Society for her fearless performance in Trucker, which is now available on DVD. And we're fortunate to have with us one of our favorite guests, Diana Sanger. Diana is a member of the San Diego Film Critics Society, so she'll be able to tell us more about that organization's award winners. And if time permits, we hope to get her reactions to last Sunday's Golden Globe Awards. Hi, Diana. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Betty Jo. I'm glad to join you guys as usual.
Well, we're very happy to have you here, and especially when we heard what the weather was like out there in California. Do you feel kind of drenched?
Well, I'm looking at it from inside, so no, but it's nice. We need it.
You needed all the rain,
and right.
Let's just hope no fires, because I know that sometimes in San Diego there is a danger of fires, so we hope that you keep safe. And it's always a pleasure to have you on our show. You know, Diana, I'm very happy about that Best Actress Award for Michelle Monaghan. But I've seen her do some excellent work in a number of other films. I thought she was very good in Eagle Eye and The Heartbreak Kid and Gone, Baby Gone. And she also has some interesting movies coming up, which she talks about in her interview. So I thought we would listen to the interview first and then ask you to react. How does that sound, Diana?
That sounds like a great plan.
All right, let's do it. But before playing the tape, which is about 15 minutes long, let's see if Nikki and Jazz are ready to help with the show. Nikki, are all systems go in our chat room?
Yes, the chat is ready to go.
Great. That's good to hear, and we really appreciate our chatters, as well as all our other listeners, of course. And we also appreciate Jazz Shaw for taking time out from his busy political schedule to co-host the show. Jazz, could you tell us just a little bit about what you've been up to this past week?
Oh, God, I don't want to take up the whole show. I've been working on the campaign of a congressional candidate out here in New York, George Phillips, who is running for Congress. Anybody wants to stop by electgeorgephillips.com, you can see what we're up to. George is a big movie fan, by the way. We've had a lot of chats about that. He has quite a collection at home, so I know he would be looking forward to this as well.
Well, I'm glad that you're working with another movie fan, because they're really great people. And congratulations on your new job. We're just pleased that you still make time for us here at Movie Addict Headquarters.
Oh, I have to, Betty Jo. You're the one that keeps me sane. You and Nikki give me a grounded place to go to when all the craziness gets to me. And movies are great. You know, last night my wife George and I were sitting down. There was nothing on TV, and just wanted to collapse for a little while. So what did we put on? Casablanca. Sometimes you just have to go back and watch one of the old classics and just lay down and kind of chuckle and enjoy yourself. And that's very important in life.
Well, why am I not surprised that you put on Casablanca? I think that's probably something that you watch frequently. Am I right?
Well, we probably watch it at least like five times a year. Yeah, I never get tired of it, and we both enjoy it so much.
Well, it's a great film, and now speaking of great films, Let's hear from Michelle Monahan herself about Trucker.
Indeed.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you, Betty Jo?
Well, I am just fine. It's so good to hear your voice. And I have been just waiting to congratulate you for winning the Best Actress Award from the San Diego Film Critics for Trucker.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I was really, really honored myself, so thank you.
You're very welcome, and I just have to tell you how impressed I am with that edgy, fearless performance in that film. You know, you made me believe you were a tough-as-nails truck driver who found out that she had some vulnerability where her estranged 11-year-old son was concerned, and no wonder you're one of today's most sought-after leading ladies. What drew you to Trucker to appear in and to devote so much time to?
Well, you know, I think for me, reading that the movie by James Modern, you know, I was really inspired. You know, it's not often that you're able to portray a character like that, to work in a film that sort of kind of butts up against Hollywood standards as opposed to perpetuating them, which is so often what I read about most of the time. And here was a woman who was, like you said, fearless, and she's unsentimental, and she's not a victim. And those were all qualities and characteristics that I don't see a lot. So I was really intrigued and inspired by playing somebody who wasn't necessarily that likable on paper, and hoping that maybe by the end of the movie you might understand her as an audience.
Well, you made a great decision to do that film, but like a lot of your fans, I was very, very surprised. I've had my eye out for you ever since I saw you in Heartbreak Kid, and I thought you were so great in that. And of course, Maid of Honor, and we're used to seeing you in romantic comedies, and then here you are, just pulling off probably one of the most edgy female roles of the year and doing it so convincingly. And so it was a great project for you to get involved in. Did you do anything special to prepare for this demanding role as Diane Ford?
I did. You know, I went to truck driving school.
Really?
Yes, I did. I got my commercial driver's license permit. And that was, I really knew if I wasn't able to get my trucker's license that I wouldn't do the movie because obviously, you know, it's Diane Ford's livelihood, and I knew in being able to drive a truck that it would inform my portrayal of her in the most honest way. And I also spent a lot of time with some female truckers. I went on short hauls with them, and they were very kind to open up their cabs and open up their hearts and answer a lot of my questions, and really allowed me to sort of understand their point of view within the industry and the sacrifices and the challenges that they face in their day-to-day lives.
Well, that was a good way to go about getting ready for this role. And so you probably had some fun while you were making it. What was the most fun you had playing Diane Ford?
You know, I think really learning how to drive a truck. It was probably the most fun that I had. It was also the most daunting, the most challenging, and ultimately the most fulfilling part of it. You know, I think any time as an actor that you put yourself in a difficult situation, a situation that where you feel quite vulnerable and really try to stretch yourself and do the best that you can to enable you to do a good performance. You know, that's incredibly gratifying when you're able to achieve that.
How long did it take you to learn to drive the truck and get your license?
I think it was a total of about 3 weeks, maybe. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I worked every day with a very patient and brave driving instructor. And went to school, went to classes, and everything. And by the grace of God, I passed that test.
So if anyone needs a truck driver,
exactly,
and you're taking some time off of filmmaking, you know that you have something else that you can do. You can add that to your resume, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, Michelle, I think that the supporting cast members in Trucker were also outstanding. I especially love the it was a warm and playful rapport you had with Nathan Fillion, who played your best buddy.
Yeah.
That just thrilled me to see that. And then the way little Jimmy Bennett reacted to his mother, when she played his mother, he came across as quite shocking sometimes, but
yeah,
appropriate for his character. But I was wondering if the director did anything special to get all these outstanding performances.
You know, I think he wrote it, I think, is what he did that was pretty, what ultimately made it really special and inspired all of our performances. You know, the writing was so, it was very simple, but very heartfelt and very honest. And I think that James really sort of allowed us to kind of find our moments. And he also allowed the camera to just linger and not for us to say anything a lot of times. And I think it's in those quiet moments that you kind of discover who these characters are, their frustration and their real struggles and their internal dialogue, as opposed to what they're all yapping about sometimes. And you know, he was a very, very great director and a very patient director, especially for a first-time director, a real testament as a filmmaker.
Well, that's right. I hadn't heard of James Mulchern before, but I'm certainly going to be watching for his movies in the future, because
yeah,
it was, I think, a very, very special film. And, you know, you've probably been asked this question over and over again, but for our listeners, I wonder if you could tell them when and why you decided on acting as a profession.
Well, you know, for me, I was, I really honestly kind of fell into it. I studied journalism in college. That was really what I wanted to do. And then I got into my senior year and I realized it wasn't a profession that I wanted to pursue. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do at that stage of my life. I moved to New York and continued to model as I was doing in college and started doing commercials and started getting bit parts in television shows and thought to myself, gosh, I really kind of like the feeling that this gives me. And I was learning sort of a lot about myself, really, through the process of acting and persevering, so to speak. And I got myself an agent and started to really take it a lot more seriously. And the rest is history.
Well, it certainly is. And you've been very busy since you decided on being an actress. All the movies that you've appeared in, and they've certainly been different, you know, diverse roles. But I think this role of Diane Ford is probably very different from the other roles that you've played. What's the biggest difference between Diane Ford and the other roles you've played in the films?
Well, I think Diane Ford isn't your typical male or typical female that you see in film today. I mean, I really think she is a version of what you see as the woman next door. She's a woman who marches to the beat of her own drum. She's independent. She's a free spirit. She doesn't answer to anyone, and she really, really calls her own shots. And you know, oftentimes in other Hollywood films, you don't. You know, you really sort of see a woman playing a backseat to a male character, and so this was really unlike that.
Well, that's true, and I was talking to some of the members of the San Diego Film Critics Society and complimenting them on your. I'm a founding member of that group, but I live in Pueblo, Colorado, and they still let me participate in some of the voting process, and so I don't get to go to the meetings where they finally, you know, they make the final choices, And yeah. So I was asking, I said, oh, Michelle Monaghan, and how did that happen? They said, Michelle Monaghan, without that movie, it couldn't have been made, and it wouldn't have been as good a movie, and that you were the film. So I thought that was a wonderful compliment that I wanted to share with you.
I'm really appreciative of that. Thank you.
And they're going to be having a big award ceremony, I think, in February. So I hope you're able to.
I am. I'm going to be there. Absolutely.
You're going to be there.
Yes, of course.
Well, that's great. Well, that's worth it for me maybe to travel to San Diego to attend that. And,
lovely to meet you.
Oh, it would be great. I would love that. But you're so busy today because I know you've got so many interviews that you're doing today. But I did have just a couple of other questions. I can't help wondering if there are any actresses who particularly inspire you.
Oh yes, Frances McDormand.
Yes, right.
Yes, I am a really big fan of Frances McDormand. I've had the pleasure of working with her a few years ago, and she's a great inspiration. I think she's just wonderful on stage, she's wonderful in film, and she's just an all-around great lady. And I also really appreciate Kate Winslet's talent. I think she's just a force to be reckoned with, and also, of course, one of the greats, Meryl Streep, and Jenna Rollins I'm a big fan of as well, and there are many, many, many women who inspire me greatly.
Well, I think you've picked some awesome actresses for inspiration, and
I
couldn't help when I was watching Trucker and I was watching you and Nathan Fillion together, and I thought, oh, if they'll only make more films together because you did have a special rapport.
Oh, I love Nathan. I think Nathan is a tremendous actor. I think he's got a real old Hollywood quality to him, and he's as great of an actor as he is. He's as great of a guy, and I'd really jump at the chance to work with him again. No doubt about it.
I would love to see one of those old Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy.
Oh,
films
gosh,
remade,
totally.
And you and Nathan. So I don't know. We're going to have to work to make that happen. If there are other people who feel the same way I do, do you have any upcoming films you'd like to mention so that your fans who are listening can look forward to them?
Yes, I do. I have two films that'll be coming out this year. A Sofia Coppola film called Somewhere. And a film called Due Date with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis. It's Todd Phillips' new comedy, and he famously did The Hangover this past year. So.
Oh, yes, that's a very popular film.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. And tomorrow I'll be announcing a new movie in the trade, so you'll have to take a look there and see what I'm
doing. Ooh, I will, and I can hardly wait to see you and Robert Downey Jr. in a movie.
Yes.
In a movie together,
that'll
be a. Is it a comedy?
It is a comedy. It is a comedy. Yeah, I play Robert's 9 months pregnant wife.
I see, and then the Somewhere is a drama, probably.
It is.
And that's with
Sofia Coppola, and it's starring Stephen Dorff and also Elle Fanning.
Wow. Well, that's quite a lineup. So you're going to be kept busy for a while, and you won't be able to do any truck driving.
No, exactly.
maybe for a few years. There's one last question, and this is what I like to ask all of the people who are so nice to come on my show. I'd like to know, Michelle, what's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work?
Well, I just, I love this job very, very much, and I intend on doing it for a long time, and I still feel like I have a lot to learn, and with every experience, I feel like I gained something, and I hope that with any supporters that I have out there listening, that I'll try to continue to do interesting and challenging work, and really push myself in different directions by doing, studio films and independent films, And thanks. I'd mostly just like to say thanks.
Well, we'd like to say thanks to you for all your wonderful performances. And you're such a joy to talk with, Michelle. All of us at Movie Addict Headquarters wish you continued success with your remarkable acting career.
Well, thank you, Betty Jo, very, very much. And I hope to meet you down in San Diego.
Well, I'm going to start planning on that. So thank you so much for taking the time out to visit here at Movie Addict Headquarters. It's been a great pleasure, and we are looking forward to more of your great performances on film.
Thank you so very much. You have a great, great day.
You too. Bye for now.
Okay, bye.
Diana.
Yes.
as you can see, I really enjoyed talking with Michelle, and you're probably wondering what that film that she was going to announce the next day after that interview was. And it's Source Code, a time travel movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. So that's another film that we will look forward to. But do you have any comments about Michelle's interview, Diana?
Well, I have a comment that you did a wonderful job interviewing her. You very thoroughly covered everything. I was just impressed with her honesty, and you know, she seems very sincere and very dedicated to her career, and that of course shows in most of her films. And so that was nice to hear from her own lips. And I was also impressed with the actual research. I mean, my brother drives long-haul trucks, and that's not an easy job. So for her to commit to doing that, that said a lot about her motivation to really want to be this character.
I think so, too. I think that she probably could have played the part without learning how to drive the truck, because there really weren't that many scenes with her in the truck. But she got into the character probably a little bit deeper by doing that, and I was impressed with that too. How about you, Jazz?
You know, it's you hear a lot of these stories about actors who go out and kind of live the life a little bit, walk around inside the skin of the characters, and it is impressive, particularly since you say, you know, there wasn't that much actual footage shot inside the truck. That is dedication to your craft when you go and you do something like that, and people, the really great actors, they go to extreme lengths and, you know, build themselves into these characters where they're walking around in that skin. And sometimes I think it's a challenge for them to get out of it when the film role is over. And I know you've talked to people who have, you know, expressed concerns about that. It's like it starts to wash over into your real life, you know, because it just takes things over.
That's a good point. And I was surprised happy when she mentioned that one of the actresses that inspire her is Frances McDormand. And Diana, do you remember that Frances McDormand was the first actress that the San Diego Film Critics awarded Best Actress for Fargo? Wasn't that our first year of operation?
Yes, it was. We know how to pick them, don't we, Betty Jo?
I think so. I really do. And especially in that case and in this case. And I think Jazz has some questions that he would like to ask you, Diana.
Yeah, Diana is here, of course, as always, representing the San Diego Film Critics Society. And you have honored Michelle already. So just let us know, what was it about Trucker and about Michelle's performance that you found so remarkable?
Well, you know, we have 15 members, and we all come in, of course, with our own picks, which we have to wheedle down. So sometimes it gets to be a real hoo-ha over the table, but we were pretty much all agreeing about this, that, like Betty Jo said, this was a movie that it was her. I mean, I don't think it could have been done by anybody else, and it needed an incredible actress who could portray that whole character arc. I mean, she, even though she says she's not a victim, psychologically she is, and to herself, and so she had to go through this whole range of emotions of anger and hurt and guilt and betrayal to herself and unworthiness and shame, and she did it, you know, with her head held high, and like she said, you know, her own walk and in her own manner, and then to turn around and then, you know, with the ending, to be vulnerable to what happens, is that took a lot. And especially when you step out of the role as an actress and you're a woman, and you're standing there looking at this young boy, Jimmy Bennett, who, like Betty Jo said, is incredible. He's already a master of the faces. And to see him call her these horrendous names and not react as a woman or a mother would, but just to be that persona of the character that she was in, it was quite an amazing feat.
I got a sense, and maybe I'm totally off base here, but I wanted to ask your opinion because you are one of the experts. I got a sense from that there were some parallels between that and the performances we saw, for example, in the film Monster. Did you see any sort of a corollary there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. You know, that whole a parody of being in a lesser profession, which they touched on very lightly in this film, and I said I know more about that lot lizard aspect of it through my brother, but, you know, to carry that on your back and try and fit into society with being those type of characters, you know, and then yet try to find something redeeming about yourself, which, you know, these characters did, and that takes even more of a
Yeah, it just brings
actor.
It to life. That's a huge challenge. Obviously, mm-hmm. the society was very impressed with Michelle, but who else, who were some of the people that were named winners and, you know, were some of the highlights?
Our winners this year for Best Film was Inglourious Basterds.
Yay!
And finally, we followed it up with the director, which sometimes we don't, and I never understand how you can have a best film without the director also, but we did this year name Quentin Tarantino as Best Director. Best Actor, we went for Colin Firth in The Single Man. Supporting Actress, we chose Samantha Morton in The Messenger. Supporting Actor was Christopher Waltz for Inglourious Basterds. Original Screenplay went to Quentin. Best Adapted Screenplay was a runner-up between Wes Anderson and Noah Baumbach for The Fantastic Mr. Fox. And Jason Reitman and Sheldon Turner for Up in the Air. Those were some of the big ones.
I will remember last year, Diana, that Slumdog Millionaire got about 6 awards from our group. And so this year, that's kind of a tie, isn't it, with Inglourious Basterds winning about 6 of our awards. And in the years before that, I think we kind of spread them around a little bit more, didn't we?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. We have. So maybe there you go. I'm telling you, we're at the forefront. And it's so funny when you start getting all these online, you know, reports like the day after everybody votes, we always get these bloggers that always say, well, there's the San Diego film critics. They're always a little out there different. But, you know, sometimes we actually pick some real winners.
Yeah. Betty,
well,
you know, I may have been one of the only people who gave a thumbs down to Inglourious Basterds. Maybe I should go back and give it another look and give it another chance. Jeez.
I think you should give it another chance because there are parts of that movie that are just, I mean, it's cinema at its very best, but it is an uneven movie. You know, it wasn't my favorite, but I certainly gave it honorable mention, and
I think it was just the timeline that threw me off. As many of Tarantino's movies, they can be hard to capture on the first watch until you go through. So, you know, perhaps it is certainly worthy of another look.
I agree with you, Daz, and Betty Jo. I think it was uneven. You know, it wasn't one of my favorites either because of that. I mean, there was parts of it that I really liked, but then there was parts I had to, you know, dredge through. And but you know, it's winning awards.
I know, and Christoph Waltz, who played the evil but very watchable Nazi detective, was just one of the best supporting performances that I have ever seen on film. And so I think, you know, I'm right with the groups that are giving him awards, and He just deserves, I think he definitely deserves it. Well, now, what about the upcoming awards ceremony that I would love to attend, and I'm trying to make plans to do? So when is it, and is Quentin coming?
You know, Quentin has been invited, and the jury's still out. I mean, he hasn't said no, so that's good. I mean, if we don't get that no right away, we still have hope. It's February... Oh, gosh, you put me on the spot. 16th, I believe. And we do invite everyone that we've, you know, voted our best of. And, of course, that's always hard because half the time they're already making other films across the world. So it's a trick. We try and time it in with a couple of days before the Academy Awards because we figure most people will be in Hollywood, but then we have to watch out for all their luncheons and that type of thing. So it does take some maneuvering, and we just, you know, are proud of whoever shows up. We can celebrate everybody that we voted for and pay a little bit more attention to those that do. And we've had some really amazing guests attend. Bennett Miller, Imelda Staunton, Alejandro Aminabar, Courtney Love. Last year we saluted Donald Graham Burt, who was the production designer for The Case of Benjamin Button. And so we have a lovely luncheon in the Prado and San Diego's Balboa Park. And so it's just a very lovely event, and we really enjoy it.
I know that that you always put on a good award ceremony, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that maybe Larry and I can make it this year. I think Larry would just go out of his way, that's my husband, to attend if Quentin were attending, because that's his favorite showbiz
person. Well, don't tell him. We'll have a lookalike.
All right. We'll bring in a ringer, right?
There you go.
I hope I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But anyway, we haven't we've neglected Nikki in our chatters. I wonder if there are any comments or reactions from the chat, Nikki, that you'd like to share with Diana.
Well, we really enjoyed the interview, and everybody said she's a class act, and it was really awesome. So thank you very much.
Well, we have perceptive chatters, and
we do.
They're right. She is definitely a class act. So thank you, chatters, for agreeing with me on that. I think we have time now to move to last Sunday's Golden Globe Awards. Did anything surprise you, Diana?
In regards to, you know, other Golden Globes, I think it was pretty much status quo. I think the one thing I was really expecting was to find Ricky Gervais a little bit more funny. Some of the things I thought were a little, I don't know, weird. And I don't know if he was improvising or that was the actual script. But as far as the awards themselves, I wouldn't say there was any real surprises. What about you?
Oh, I was surprised. I just could not believe it, and I just jumped up and down when it happened, when Robert Downey Jr. got the award for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for Sherlock Holmes. And I felt when he got up to give his speech and said that his wife told him that he didn't have to write a speech, because Matt Damon was going to win.
Right.
And that was just exactly the way I felt. I didn't think that he had a chance, you know, with that performance.
So well deserved, Betty Jo, for Robert Downey Jr. to be
yes.
to be recognized. The way he has rehabilitated his career, really. I don't know about you, but I still have momentary pangs when he comes up to the podium, because I'm thinking back to the 90s, and I'm just waiting to see if he's going to show up to give the speech and turn out that he's, you know, just off his rocker or something and start doing something crazy. And then he's been handling himself so well.
You know, Jess, I wrote him a letter when he was in prison, and just, you know, praising his work to hopefully inspiring him, you know, that we were all out here waiting and knew there was going to be years yet to come of wonderful performances. So it is heartwarming to see that.
It absolutely is.
Diana and I have been strong supporters of Robert Downey's talent from the first time that we saw him. And I remember when Diana told me that, and I thought that was so great. You'll never know how much influence your letter might have had on him.
Diana, exactly. I can't wait to see him in Iron Man. I'm really looking forward to that. Diana, I know Betty Jo wants to get to this, and this is one of my favorite topics, because I see such differences between some of the different award shows and how people rate things, particularly, like, you don't see the same things getting People's Choice Awards as you see at the Oscars. et cetera. Do you think the Golden Globes this year, are they going to be a precursor for the Oscars, or do you think the Oscars are going to go in a very different direction and maybe something that's not quite so much the fan favorites?
Well, I think a lot of it's a precursor, but then, you know, the Golden Globes has where they divide their categories so that the Academy doesn't, you know, with their movies and musicals and comedies. And so sometimes that can make a difference. And also the people who vote for the Golden Globes are all one group, the broadcast film critics, where the Academy has, you know, the whole nation's critics, which have their opinions. And I think that influences a lot of the actors who vote, whether they want to admit it or not, because they have so much to see. So sometimes they just kind of have to go with the flow. But, you know, I think pretty much that any of these that they voted on could win. And I was very excited to see some of these people win and very amazed to see one, which was The White Ribbon as Best Foreign Film. We just saw that last week, and it was a 2-hour and 40-minute film about a little town in Germany before World War One, and it was a charming film and done well, and it really put you in the air, but it was long. I mean, there was a couple critics that went out, a couple that fell asleep, and at the end, there was all these families with all these kids, and you never knew the kids were getting into trouble and things were going on, and you never knew whose kids went to who, so it was very confusing. And then right at the end, they never even revealed, like, some of the stuff that needed to sum it up. They just went right to, and this town happened when Germany invaded Russia, and so it was really unfulfilling.
Well, The White Ribbon was recommended to us by the Mad Movie Man on a recent show, wasn't it, Betty Jo?
Or by John P. McCarthy. One of them put that on his top 10. I believe it was John P. McCarthy. But I believe the San Diego Film Critics voted El Divo. Am I correct about that, Diana, as the best foreign language?
Right, El Divo and runner-up Sin Nombre.
And I, of course, would have put in Captain Abu Rayyad as my choice for the best foreign language film, because I think that's not just the best foreign language film, but it's up there pretty high up for any film made last year. I think that we're going to see some of these films that we've been talking about on the list of 10 Best Picture nominees, don't you? I mean, there are some that are showing up over and over again. I noticed that the Producers Guild, I think I mentioned this last week, it's the Directors Guild. They've put up 5 nominees, The Hurt Locker, Avatar, Up in the Air, Inglourious Bastards, and Precious. Now, I think those 5 films will be on the 10 Best Picture in the 10 Best Picture category as nominations on February 2nd by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. And I wouldn't be surprised if, rounding out the 10, there will be 2 animated films. I think Up for sure will be on that list, and Fantastic Mr. Fox. Now, when we were picking our best films of 2009, I think the majority of us put Fantastic Mr. Fox on our list, and I just think that is so original and so creative that it might make the list. You might see The Blind Side, Invictus.
Hurt Locker.
The Hurt Locker was one of the 5 in the 5 that I mentioned at the Directors Guild.
Right.
Nominated, but I think in the supporting actor category, I think there's a sure thing you're going to see Christoph Waltz on the list
I'm
of
sure
nominees.
And wasn't
Do you
his
think,
speech at the Golden Globes was great? How he told about his journey of not even wanting the part, and you know, and then now look where he's at. I thought that was a very heartfelt speech he made for that.
Yes, he did. He really had thought about that. He definitely had thought about that speech, and it was the most articulate speech that was given at the Golden Globes. I do think that he's going to be our winner, even in that category, not just the one just nominated.
What you forgot to hang over. You commented on this once before, but I wanted a chance to ask Diana, if we just have a moment, what do you think about expanding it to 10 for the Oscars, expanding the number of nominees? I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that? Was that a good move?
I don't think so. You know, I think 5 is a perfect number. You know, it just puts so much onus on all the people who are voting to, you know, to do more work. And actually, you know, the extra 5 are probably were just their 5 runner-ups that they're adding on anyway, so they should remain 5 runner-ups. I mean, if all the other categories are 5, why go to 10? I know there's a lot of good films, but, you know, then you have to do the work to figure it out. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right, and I think that's a very, very good point. Do you think, besides Christoph Waltz, that there are some sure things for getting a nomination or even winning from the Academy?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, the big films that we mentioned, like you did, you know, Avatar and Inglourious, and Jason Reitman's doing really well with his Up in the Air, so
yes,
I think he's going to score some more nominations, probably for director, and some more in that film. And you, like you said, there were a couple animated that, you know, they could show up. I don't know. It's going to be another exciting time, and I'm really hoping that Michelle gets on that list.
Oh, I do too. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed on that.
But it's a big category for actress this year, so
it is.
It'll be interesting.
It is.
She is so nice and so real when Betty Jo gets her on the phone. I mean, she's just so personable and not at all haughty, willing to talk to people. I love that when actors are still staying in touch with the audience and the fans.
Absolutely.
I do too. And
there
if she doesn't,
some good things from The Last Station, which we didn't talk about, which we didn't even see until this last week, and I was very upset about that because the movie is great. Christopher Plummer was wonderful. Helen Mirren was incredible. And, you know, I hope some of those people get in some of those lists somewhere too.
Well, that's too bad that they didn't send out enough screeners. I didn't see it either before making my list, but I never count out Helen Mirren because she is one of our best actresses. And, of course, Christopher Plummer, he's at the top of the list too. So you might see their names at least being nominated. I cannot believe it. We are almost out of time, Diana.
You've done it
just
again.
You just made the time go by so quickly, and we're so happy that you could be here today. Thanks again to you, and of course to Michelle Monahan for her terrific interview. And Diana, I hope you can come back on Tuesday when the Oscar nominations are given out or announced, and maybe we can have some Oscar nomination therapy on Tuesday the 2nd.
Can we have cocktails and cookies too?
Let's do. we'll start planning that.
Okay.
Oh, well,
and we're
going to
see
great,
you at our awards.
And I'm going to work on that too. And I'm going to work on my husband. I won't tell him that it's a ringer, so that we're going to get Quentin Tarantino there.
We'll have our own after party. I'll come out for it. Yay!
All right.
Come on. You need to come to San Diego. Come on, Jazz.
Right.
I used to live there. I love San Diego.
Bring Nikki too.
Well, we all do. It's a great town. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support and connection with our show. And of course, special thanks always to Nikki and Jazz for everything they do to make Movie Addict Headquarters a treat to host. Please come back next Tuesday, which will be January the 26th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be talking about Jackie Chan films with the Mad Movie Man. It should be a fun show. Thanks to our chatters and all our other listeners for tuning in today. We hope you, or listening to the archives, we hope you enjoyed the show. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. And more importantly, remember to help the Haitian people in this time of tragedy through donations to organizations like the Red Cross and Salvation Army. As usual, here's the talented A.J. Daniels to close the show with a song we dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
And be true.